Breakfast, Regionally Speaking, on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. We have had opportunities to find out in the past about Leadership Northwest Indiana. It's a program that's established at Purdue Northwest to help get people involved and into roles that will eventually, perhaps many, get them more into some serious leadership professionalship, so to speak, not only academic, but leadership practitioners around Northwest Indiana. And they made some changes because of the coronavirus pandemic. Sheila Matias is the executive director of what's probably more referred to as LNI, Leadership Northwest Indiana, to talk about the program itself and all the changes that have come about here. And Sheila, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Well, good morning, Chris. I'm delighted to be here on behalf of Purdue Northwest and the wonderful Leadership Institute, where we work hard in the region as the hub of leadership development for our region. So we provide numerous programs, but the one I'm here to talk about today is the one that will be kicking off on the 17th of September, mm-hmm. and that's Leadership Northwest Indiana. As you referenced, it's often called LNI. That's our acronym for Leadership Northwest Indiana, and it's a program that has 1,400 graduates. It has been around. It's kind of our legacy program. It's been around for many years. But in the last couple of years, we completely redesigned the program. We now have an academic director, Dr. Rachel Clapp-Smith from the School of Business at PNW. And she has really helped us to build in research-based leadership development so that our program is contemporary. It's talking about leadership practices that work well in the current workforce. And so you mentioned about our virtual platform. So you alluded to the fact that the pandemic has had lots of impacts on business across the region, and certainly our program is no exception. So we are going to a virtual learning platform. We are really excited about it because it does provide us an opportunity to reach more leaders, people who may not be able to carve out our traditional program as a day a month. And sometimes that is hard for a busy working person to be able to take a full day per month to focus on leadership development and personal growth. So this is an opportunity for us to reach more people because we're going to still have the same content, but it will be broken up into different chunks. And so, you know, what does good leadership look like? We'll talk about authentic leadership and transformational leadership. So we're really excited to be, you know, looking for that silver lining. The COVID virus has really changed us, but this is a silver lining because we're going to be able to reach leaders who may not have been able to join us in our traditional program.
I know the program has basically been, as all along since its inception, been a 10-month program that I guess basically helps find areas of growth and some pathways and the like with the goal, I guess, of creating more insightful and stronger leaders from the community at large here in Northwest Indiana. And what kind of changes have evolved that you're aware of in taking over the project in recent years that in turn that's not only the coronavirus itself has changed, but also, I guess, the evolving part of the program itself? I'm sure that probably some things like leadership assessment, one-on-one coaching and things like that are still within the program, right?
So we actually have expanded the program. The leadership coaching that you mentioned is new. So last year we began to do a 360 leadership assessment. So each of our participants, regardless of the program that they're taking, does a 360 assessment. So you have leadership in all domains of your life. You're not just a leader at work. You're a leader in your family. You're a leader in your community. And so we have a 360 assessment that goes out. You can choose the people in all of your domains. So your work colleagues, your manager, your boss, et cetera. Your community colleagues, and then members of your family and friends, and they assess your leadership, and then we do some coaching, one-on-one customized coaching around that so people can see their strengths, they can see how others perceive them, and also their challenge areas. We all are works in progress, and so our goal is to take folks from where they are and show them the pathway forward so that we can continue to be lifelong learners and grow in our jobs, but also grow in our personal development. So, you know, managers and leaders are two different things. We are all often very good managers. We are transactional. We know how to plan and we budget and we organize and we work with our staff and we control things. We problem solve. We make sure we have enough supplies. That's that's managing. That's really not leading. Leading is transformational. Leading is direction setting, building trust and culture, aligning people to the vision and getting folks to really understand why we're in this together and how as a team we can accomplish great things. It's motivating people. And that's, you know, that's not an easy task. It's probably much easier to manage that transactional piece than it is to be a transformative leader. Mm-hmm. The transformative leaders can change outcomes. It can transform organizations. It can turn followers into leaders. It helps increase performance. So for those who are listening, oftentimes we find that we don't have enough time to focus on that piece of our business development, but it really is an important piece. It can change the status quo into better success. And so our role in the region is to really focus on leadership, because leadership builds stronger communities. It builds stronger organizations, whether you're a school teacher, whether you are working in healthcare, whether you are operating your own small business. Leadership can change things and can really make our community stronger. So we've often worked with people who are, you know, a stay-at-home mom. You're a leader as a parent. And now, of course, our parents are being teachers as well, so that's even a greater leadership challenge. So I encourage anyone who's listening, if you want to join our class, we still have a few seats available, mm-hmm. and we're happy to provide more information. I will give the phone number, because it's probably the easiest way to leave a message, and rather than me give the web address, you can find us online at www.pnw.edu/leadership/institute. And you can find about our programs, and there's a way to sign up. There's a form that you can fill out, and we'll respond right away. But our number is 219-989-2801. You can leave a message, and we will call you back and discuss, you know, what your interest is. If you are able to take the program this year, it is a 10-month program. We will be meeting virtually, so that does make it a little bit more available for some folks. You can do it from the comfort of your home office or your office at work. Close the door and spend a couple hours focusing on becoming a stronger transformational leader.
Has it turned out that the pandemic and going to the virtual learning concept has, of course, taken away a lot of the in-person and the more personal touch, more personal when you've got questions, you can address them to an individual more personally. Is this particular way of being able to help get the program continuing on and all the goals that you have set up a long time ago and the ones that you've added to here just recently, mm-hmm. do you find it's going to maybe it's going to make it easier to be able to handle, since before we had 20 participants, because you had to have a physically sized class that is, you know, one that was easily to manage. Do you think that this would work better this way, in a way, on the virtual concept?
So I think there's a benefit to both models. Certainly, I love to be with people. I think we're all, as humans, we're all social creatures. So we do enjoy that one-on-one contact and being in a room together and, you know, sharing a meal together and all that. But you know, that's not available right now. So while that might be our preferred way of learning, there are alternate ways of learning. Our children are learning about it. Our college students are learning about it. And as adults, we are flexing and changing as well to the needs of our healthcare initiatives. So, you know, I would say that this is going to be a great program. We have a lot of high energy. We will provide ways. People will be in breakout rooms where they can work one-on-one with a colleague. The nice thing about the Leadership Northwest Indiana program is that it really builds a network. So you not only have the network of all the LNI grads who came before you, but the most remarkable thing is the great tight bonds that people form. They're working with each other to hear about the challenges others have at work. And you'll find that when you trust your colleagues, we provide a safe space for people to problem solve. And so it's a nurturing, kind of safe environment for you to talk about this challenge that you're having at work. And then other people jump in and say, hey, have you tried this? Mm-hmm. Or that happened to me as well, and this is how I solved the problem. And so it's a natural, almost a natural coaching network, And I think that's one of the remarkable byproducts of this program. That will not go away. So while we might not be working in a big room together, we will. We are using a virtual platform. We are prepared to make it an engaging and rich and robust learning exercise, but also a place where you can build relationships, you can have colleagues, and you can build that sense of trust. And then also we have a small team. Dr. Rachel Claff-Smith is our academic director, as I mentioned. Dr. Jane Thomas is our Leadership Institute fellow. She will be assisting us. Courtney Robinson is our program manager, and I mentioned that I'm the executive director. I'm a leadership practitioner. You probably know a little bit about my leadership background, so mm-hmm. I've been in the field of leadership as a practitioner. I am not an academic, and so we have a lovely balance between academics and practitioners. We bring each of us bring our experience with us to the table, and we share that with folks so that they get a comfort level that we don't all know the answers. We're all trying our best to be good leaders and be leaders where we are value-based and we can accomplish our missions together. So it's a really, I'm very much looking forward to it, as you can probably tell. I get inspired by, assisting emerging leaders or leaders who are well-developed but still just need that extra nugget or extra chance to develop some further skills. And so it's a great place for me to learn, but they also, we all learn from one another. And it's a really nurturing, exciting environment for rich and life-changing leadership exercises. Mm-hmm.
Now, Sheila, I know that besides this redesigned L&I program that we're talking about here, the Leadership Institute also has available within the scope the Young Leaders Academy, the Explorer Academy, and you do other things right. as well too. How is the pandemic and the virtual concept that you're going with here in this case with the L&I program? How is it going to impact these others?
So we are going to, the Explorer Academy is starting also a week after the Leadership Northwest Indiana program. So both L&I and Explorer will be 100% virtual. Our Young Leaders Academy is our high school leadership program, and that starts after the holidays. Mm-hmm. So we are hopeful that we can do a hybrid mix. So we will do some online and some in person, but obviously we can't make those decisions yet. So we're holding off on calling that one. We'll make that decision probably further into the fall as to whether we will be able to have our high school students with us. And of course, for our high school students, they are nominated from within their school, and the schools sponsor them. Some parents will make sure that their child gets an application as well. And so there's information on our website, on the Purdue website under Leadership Institute, about the Young Leaders Academy. So if there are parents listening and you're interested in having your young person to further develop their leadership skills, it's a great opportunity. We usually have about 24 to 28, I would say, young high school leaders from across the region. So they're from every county in our 7-county area. There's generally a concentration between our three big ones, Porter, Lake, and LaPorte County. But it's an opportunity for our sophomores and juniors in high school to first of all, a great resume builder for their college application that they have a certificate from the Leadership Institute. But it's also a chance for them to get out of their high school, merge and learn from other leaders, from other cultures and other schools across the region, and really focus on their career pathway as a leader, but also their personal development. It's a wonderful opportunity that I know as a mother, it would have been a great opportunity for my young people.
Mm-hmm. Now, since we're getting close to the start of programs, as you mentioned, with the Leadership Northwest Indiana program coming mm-hmm. up here first, and then the others following suit, hopefully if the pandemic will allow such things to happen. Right. I have a lot of exciting people, a lot of people with showing excitement. They're really thrilled. They're ready to go, it sounds like. And with this expansion and the changes over to the virtual system, it seems like it's going to make things easier. Maybe more people are interested because of the way it's going to be done.
Well, I think it's, I mentioned silver linings. I'm a real positive person. And I think that the pandemic has certainly created a lot of havoc, for people's income, for example, for job stability. There's a lot of negative impacts. But we also have to look as a community at where are the silver linings. It has provided us an opportunity to spend more time with our family. I was reading an article recently about how people are returning to cooking their own meals and learning how to be self-sufficient in the home. So there's a lot of good things about this. You just have to look for them. So I'm trying to look at this as an opportunity for us to be able to reach more emerging leaders or leaders who know that they need just that little extra personal development, and they haven't been able to carve out that time. But because we are making it virtual and it's very easily accessible, you don't have to get in your car and drive, you don't have to leave your office to set some time apart. We'll be recording the session so that if you do have a sick child at home, or you are called away for something at work, you will be able to access the recording and won't miss a beat. We'll be doing our coaching, the 360 assessment. So we will do the one-on-one coaching. It will be virtual, but it still will be a chance for each participant to spend some quality time talking about their personal challenges, where they see their strengths, and kind of developing a leadership, kind of a development plan, I would say, so that they can understand that you know, leadership just doesn't happen. We're not born leaders. There's a long debate about whether leaders are born or made, and we're of the mind that leaders are made. They are developed. Certainly, we don't come out of the womb as baby leaders. We learn to be a leader by first in the sandbox, and then as we head into school, we learn. Some people have more natural leadership, but everyone can develop as a leader. And so, when you're in your workplace, you will notice that some people have seem to have that gift of charisma. Charisma can be developed, and so we will talk about practical things like how do you practice charisma, how do you engender trust from other people? How do you lead a team? How do you problem solve? How do you handle confrontation? How do you speak up for yourself? So those kinds of practical things are part of what we've got baked into the program, and folks will learn from one another.
Well, Sheila, we'll be back together again soon, I hope, as the program gets underway for another year of classes for the Leadership Northwest Indiana program. And thank you for spending time with us to talk about today.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye now. Sheila Matias is the Executive Director of Leadership Northwest Indiana Program, which is based at Purdue University Northwest, and you're listening to Regionally Speaking here on Lakeshore Public Radio. A nonprofit with the goal of helping Lake County residents enjoy locally grown foods has partnered with Methodist Hospital's North Lake Campus and other Gary-based groups for this year's series of land-based and mobile markets. Marie Pittman is the project manager for Lake County Eats Local, and she talked with us about the program this year and the collaboration that's making it possible.
Lake County Eats Local is a sort of a collaboration between Legacy Foundation, Purdue Extension, and the Northwest Indiana Food Council. They each collaborated on a grant. And we received a grant from the USDA to implement the Lake County Eats Local program. And what that program does is creates farmers markets in food desert communities within Gary and East Chicago. Stated, we did have to adjust to the pandemic, so we did get a bit of a late start. We started in May, which is typical farmers market season, about mid-May through September or mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
But you usually begin planning before that period. We actually started planning in May. We didn't know, what was going to happen, if they were going to be canceled. But as you know, farmers markets are essential, just like grocery stores.
Are you finding that this year's season, because of the pandemic and the fact that it changed your plans around a lot, did it seem to affect what folks that come by, the land-based and the mobile markets, are going to be able to pick up this year?
Yes, I would say it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going based off of, what I know from Lake County Eats Local, because this is actually my first year as program manager for Lake County Eats Local. This is their second year. The grant will be 3 years total, so next year will be the last year for Lake County Eats Local. Yes, I believe it did change. Of course, everyone is practicing their social distancing, and we have our rules and regulations. Vendors have to wear their masks and gloves. The community members aren't allowed to touch certain things and all of that, but people still come out.
Mm-hmm.
People still come out and support. And as you know, they don't really have much to do. So many festivals and things have been canceled. So they kind of come out and hang out at the farmers market. well, not hang out. I shouldn't say hang out. We do, due to the pandemic as well, we try and get them in. They purchase what they want to purchase, and then we get them out. So there wasn't a lot of music at the markets this year. There were no food demonstrations and things that would typically contribute to the farmers market's glory as a social event, which is what a farmers market is.
But I suppose the nice thing is that the fruits and vegetables that the local farmers are going to bring up as vendors won't change that much, will they?
No, absolutely not. And that's the goal of our program, to sort of increase the availability of locally grown fresh produce for members of the community in Gary and East Chicago.
Tell us a little bit more about the collaborations that you've been able to set up with Memphis Hospital's North Lake Campus and the Art House and the Gary Housing Authority and all the other groups that are in Gary that are going to be able to help make sure that these markets are available this year.
Oh, they're wonderful. So the partnerships that we've cultivated this year, they're helping us with choosing host sites, sustainable host sites. And what I mean by that is sites that will continue to host farmers markets once the Lake County East Local grant ends next year. For Methodist Hospital, our collaboration, we provide technical assistance. In addition to creating new farmers markets, we provide technical assistance to already existing farmers markets, such as Methodist Hospital. And technical assistance in that case was the fact that Lake County East Local can accept SNAP and EBT payments on behalf of Methodist Hospital. So they don't have to fill out all that paperwork and purchase the machine themselves. Just Lake County East Local being there, we can accept it on their behalf. So if someone wants to come and use their SNAP, EBT, or their food stamp card to purchase locally grown or healthy fruits and vegetables, they may do so. I'm there with my SNAP machine, and then Lake County East Local just reimburses Methodist Hospital for whatever amount of SNAP purchases were made. We collaborated with LaShawn Brooks, who is the executive director of Art House. We felt like that location and the surrounding neighborhoods would greatly benefit from having access to a farmer's market. We had several vendors. We had local produce, candles, baked goods. We had had Urban Farms there, Faith Farms, and we also had Rural Farm, which is Laird Farms. They were there as well. And the vendor rotation it switches depending on the day of the market. We're moving on to East Chicago now. We will be having markets every other Wednesday on 138th and Main Street in East Chicago. There's still a wide variety. Some of our rural farmers still have plenty of things that they grow. So you'll still have a lot to choose from.
That's Lake County Eats local program manager, Marie Pittman, and information on all of the next food markets can be found on the program's Facebook page. And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today. Coming up tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the program, we have conversations with Dan Carton and Joseph Pete with the Times of Northwest Indiana. And we also bring you conversations we've had with Ron Taylor of the Porter County Waste and Recycling Waste Reduction District, as well as with Dr. Julie Peller, who is a Valparaiso University environmental chemistry professor, about a special project involving recycling and plastics. We hope you can join us for the program tomorrow.